Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is so good to see you this morning. I've missed you after being on vacation for a Sunday and a few days. I barely know where I am, so if I call you, if you're married and I call you by your wife's name or I call you by your husband's name, don't take it personally. I'm still finding my way. It's so good to see all of you. Welcome to worship this morning at First Baptist Newport News, both in person and online. We are so glad that you're here. I'm learning where to look now, because as you notice, our middle camera is not here. We are transitioning to our cameras that are in other places in the sanctuary, so we are learning all of this process. So online folks, thank you for being with us and bearing with us as we learn how to work with our new cameras, and we're so excited about this and excited about being able to deliver an even better online worship experience as we all worship together. Guest, we are very glad that you are with us today, both in person and online. For those of you who are in person, you notice on the pew rack there is a QR code that you can scan with your phone, and that will take you to our guest card that you can fill out if you're comfortable doing so. It'll also take you to your offering opportunities, both guest members, regular attenders, and that gives you online giving opportunities. Of course, you can also drop your offering in the box as you leave today, and that'll be there for you at that time as well. Thank you so much for being here. Also, let me remind you, if you are on your social media page, whether you're watching online or in person with your phone, go ahead and share the service so other people on your friend list are invited to worship with us. That helps so much. We're always looking at how many people are viewing our services and how many people are connecting with us during our service. The more people that share the service, even just sharing, you don't have to comment about it, the more people that share our service, the more people are invited into participating in this. So if you would take the time to share the service, that'd be fantastic. If you don't know how to share your service, if that technologically is a little bit more than where you are at this moment, ask afterwards around the welcome desk. We'll find somebody that can help show you how to do that so you can be a part of the sharing experience, because we all learned how important it is in kindergarten to share, right? Yes, we all learned that that's very important, so thank you for doing that. Also, you've noticed in First News, our weekly newsletter that comes out on Monday at noon. I'm on vacation still. Wednesday at noon every week, and if you're on that list, you can get that. If not, go ahead and just send us a note and let us know so we can make sure you're on that list. But this week in particular, you notice that it's our time to collect our school supplies for Yates Elementary School. That list is in First News. It's there for you to be aware of and know what to collect. And that deadline to collect those items, I believe, is not this Friday, but the next Friday. So I have to check me on that. Remember, vacation brain is still in effect. But we are collecting those items for Yates Elementary. And with everything that's gone on in our world, with how the school year was so difficult last year, with teachers coming back to all 5-day in-person learning, students and parents coming back to 5-day a week in-person learning, they can really use our support this year. So I invite you to look at that list, shop online or shop in person, and bring those items over to the church office. If you shop online and simply want to have them delivered to the church office, that's fine too. We'll get those and make sure that they get back to Yates Elementary, our partner school, as we start this school year. It is so good to see you this morning. I am looking forward to worshiping with you. I'm looking forward to hearing the word of God that has been laid on Pastor Ethan's heart as he shares our sermon with us this morning, and looking forward to all that God has to teach us. Welcome to the worship of God. Welcome to a few moments where we can rest and be renewed.
Chen.
The Apostle John is given a vision of what the throne room of God looks like. Even now as we speak, we can envision, due to his recording of that vision, what the throne room experiences all day, what it is like for the Father and the Son to be worshiped. The living creatures that surround the throne say all day and all night that you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. And the Lamb is worshiped by a multitude that declare, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Will you stand and join me as we join those that worship above in the throne room of God to declare worthy of worship? Would you stand and sing with me?
Would you pray with me? Lord God, in these moments we give you praise. We give you glory for being the God of the universe, the God of all creation. And we give you, Lord, glory for being the Lord of our lives, the Lord of the things that happen in our city, our nation, and our world. We give you praise, O Lord, though we do not understand how all circumstances work. But we rest assured, Lord, that in your hands we know that we are secure. and that we find our confidence and provision in you. Lord God, there are so many things in our world that have us hurting. We think of the earthquake in Haiti yesterday and all the suffering and all the massive amounts of human need present there. We think of the rise of the Delta variant and so many that are in hospitals and so many suffering, and so many workers, hospital workers, doctors, and nurses working overtime over and over again. We think, Lord, of a world that seems in so many ways that it is on the brink. And Lord, while so many tell us all the time how to fix it, we know, oh Lord, that the only place we can turn is to you. So Lord, accept our praise, accept our offering, accept our devotion. For each person present, Lord, as we worship, we pray that you would meet us where we are, that you would teach us the things we need to know, even if we do not want to hear them, that you would love us, challenge us, remake us, convict us, and welcome us home again with your grace. In your name, precious Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It is so good to be here with you today, and that's what I get for not shaving. There we go. All right, I think that's better. That is my fault. Thank you for the beautiful worship this morning. It is good to be here together with you. The last 7-8 weeks have been very exciting in my family. If you haven't heard, we have a new baby boy named Basil Thomas Brown. He's named after an early church father, we love him a lot. He is just learning to smile, which is great, because before that, they just kind of sit there unless they're crying. But now he's cooing at us and smiling, and that makes the long nights with little sleep a lot better. So thank you for all the prayers and words of support and encouragement and gifts. They've meant a lot to our family during this time. Our text this morning comes from Exodus 32. I'm going to be reading verse 1 and then again verses 7 through 14. Feel free to read the rest in between. It's all good stuff, but I just wanted to get ahead to some of the other things. So Exodus 32 verses 1 and then 7 through 14. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Then the Lord, this is starting in verse 7, then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down at once, for your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed to it, and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, who you brought up from the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now then, let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, and I may destroy them. And I will make of you, Moses, a great nation." Then Moses entreated the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your anger burn against your people, whom you have brought up from the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, 'With evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens. And all this land of which I have spoken, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' So the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do to his people." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The first thing I want you to hear today is that delay makes us all a little uncomfortable. It makes us question and squirm. It's the gap between the present we're experiencing and the future we think should be happening. It is the day the doctor is supposed to call with the results from that test, and you just can't keep checking your phone. It's the 2 minutes you spend staring at the pregnancy test, and all you see around you is plus and minus signs, and you don't know what to expect. It's that moment, that awkward moment now, when you meet someone for the first time, maybe in person, and you haven't seen them in months, and you don't know what to do with your hands, right? Shaking hands is frowned upon now. Do we do the fist bump or the awkward elbow thing? Or by the time I figured it out, we usually have nodded and moved on in the conversation. But it's that moment of delay. Delay makes us nervous, and something human takes place the longer the delay stretches. We become more and more assured that something has gone terribly wrong. As the seconds, minutes, and perhaps years begin to tick by, we lose our optimism. We lose our hope. Perhaps you feel this dwindling hope as our attempts to return to normal are delayed once more by surging COVID cases. As we join the Israelites in this passage, they have just come off a mountaintop experience with Yahweh. This God had recently liberated the Israelites from their Egyptian enslavement by signs of power, turning the great Nile River into blood, sending swarms of locusts and flies and gnats and frogs and raining down hail and fire and even death. In a final act of might, he split the Red Sea and brought the Israelites to safety, to dry ground on the other side, while the armies of Egypt were swallowed up and destroyed. Yahweh brought this people through the desert to Mount Sinai, and there at the foot of that mountain, Moses spoke for God and proclaimed the law of God for the people, the very foundation of which sat these two commandments. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me, nor shall you make for yourselves an idol. And at the conclusion of this proclamation, the people agreed to God's terms. They said, yes, this law sounds good for us. We will be your people and you will be our God. And so they slaughtered an animal, and Moses dipped a branch in its blood, and he walked among the people, and he sprinkled them with the blood of sacrifice. This newly anointed people, covered in the blood of their covenant, watched as Moses ascended up the mountain to confer with God again. And then they waited there in the desert. Now, we don't know how long they waited. It could have been the full 40 days that Scripture later says Moses was up on the mountain for. Perhaps it was after a month that they began to lose hope. Maybe it was a week. For all we know, it could have only been an hour. He walked up there and they turned around and realized he wasn't there anymore. What we do know is that at some point, this people began to feel the acute delay of Moses' return. They were coming off the high of their mountaintop experience to find the mundane all around them. It doesn't take very long after leaving the worship service for the daily grind of emails and schoolwork and bills to leave us stressed and angry and scared, and we haven't even turned on the news yet. These people who were once so connected to God and to each other came together again before Aaron, their acting commander, and asked for a new God. And let us not fool ourselves into thinking that we are better than the Israelites because we don't have a golden calf sitting on our mantle place. The need to worship something is essentially human. And I've heard it said that our hearts are idol factories, and these American hearts were very productive. We worship power and knowledge and sex, football and video games and money. We worship our appearance, our youth, our families. We worship scientists and politicians and pastors. We worship our freedom and our Americanness. And most of all, we worship ourselves. So is a golden calf really that surprising for people that spend all day, every day, very concerned about the status of their animals? Scholars think that the Israelites borrowed the idea for their God from a nearby tribe that worshipped a goat. And they needed something, anything, to fill this gap. They did not ask Aaron just for any God, however. In verse 1, it says they wanted a God who would go before them. They wanted a God who would guide them and direct them and give them purpose. They wanted an identity. In 1833, William Miller, a Baptist preacher, became convinced after years of studying the Bible that Jesus would return in 1843. He traveled the country and proclaimed the second coming and gathered quite a following. At first, he was reluctant to say which exact day in 1843 that Jesus was coming. But eventually, he settled on the slightly later date of March 21st, 1844. So it took a little while to figure it out. But 1844, March 21st, that's the day. But as we were all still here, I think we know how this story goes. March 21st came and went, so Miller chose a different day. First in April, and then in May, and then in June, and then finally in October. October 22nd, 1844, was a day set with great confidence. This is the day Jesus will return. It's a day that was soon to be known as the Great Disappointment. With this final delay of God's return, Miller's followers scattered. Some joined different religious movements like the Shakers. Some went back to their Baptist life, and only a small remnant looked towards the next day of return. In the midst of their delay, the idol that they found had failed them. Perhaps the Israelites feared a similar fate. Their identity as a people was being called into question by God's delay. How can we be the people of God if God has abandoned us? Who are we if we are all alone? These questions echo from the ancient desert to our empty hearts. Where is our God in the face of senseless brutality and terrorist attacks? Where is God when I have lost my job of 30 years and I no longer have retirement? Where is God when my spouse gets sick and though I pray and pray and pray, they don't seem to get any better? Where is God when everything in our world gets put on pause, shaken up and turned over? When we can't find the God we claim, we will find any God we can hold on to. What should surprise us about this story is not Israel's response to Moses' delay, but God's delay in response to Israel. Let me say that again. What should surprise us about this story is not Israel's response to Moses' delay, but God's delay in response to Israel. You see, the second thing I want us to see today is that delay is actually an act of God's grace. The whole story hinges on grace. Listen again to what God tells Moses starting in verse 9. The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now then, leave me alone, that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them." Wrath is all that the Israelites deserved. Their act of creating the golden calf carried this sexual undertone, implying marital unfaithfulness to God. We find this theme throughout the Old Testament, especially in the prophets Ezekiel and Hosea, who graphically depict Israel standing by the roads, offering themselves up to whoever comes along. Our own law recognizes the fierce and violent insanity that such intimate betrayal may cause. We make excuse for murder. Surely God's immediate destruction of the Israelites is the deserved outcome of their betrayal. With the legitimate anger of a betrayed lover, God demands justice by way of his wrath. Yet instead of taking the action that the Israelites deserved and that God had every power to enact. God speaks to Moses. Here we see a call to an intercessory relationship, to stand in the gap for people, to stand before God on behalf of someone else. There's something about our willingness to interact with God on behalf of others that moves God, that moves the heart of God. Though Moses was explicitly told to leave God, he has the audacity to stay. Sometimes we have to have the audacity to stay in seemingly hopeless situations and beseech God to move. We must stand with the hungry and cry out for food. We must stand with the powerless and give them a voice. We must stand in the gap before an undeserving, sinful, and guilty people, that they may taste the grace that we have feasted on. But let us also be careful here. We cannot manipulate God. Though Moses' intercession is meaningful, some commentators see Moses' position in this story as representing an internal dialogue between God and his demand for justice and righteousness and holiness, and God's great love and faithfulness and mercy. Unlike our traditional societal norms, which accept a double standard, you know, boys will be boys, but women must be pure, God demands faithfulness because he is faithful. Moses stands in the gap to save Israel, and he finds that God is already there. In this intimate and personal moment with Moses, God has played his hand. He does not want to destroy his people. Look at the arguments that Moses uses to persuade God from his wrath. He says in verse 12, "Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, 'With evil intent, he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and destroy them from the face of the earth.'" And again in verse 13, Moses says, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars in the heavens. And all this land which I have spoken, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.'" Those are Moses' arguments. Egypt's going to see, and they're going to think, "Wow, look at that guy. He just brought him out to kill him. And remember your promise to your people. You are going to make this a great nation." But you know, after the 10 plagues that God rained down on the Egyptians, I doubt any one of them are sitting there trying to judge what God does next. I doubt any Egyptian feels like they are in a place to critique what God does next. And certainly, if God could raise up a great people out of Abraham, he could certainly fulfill his promise out of Moses. Moses could offer no convincing argument for why God had to refrain from his wrath. Yet God delayed. God delayed there on that mountain. And he delayed again as the Israelites worshiped different gods, Baal and Asherah. And he delayed again when they put their trust in their own military might. And he delayed again even when he had Jerusalem destroyed, because God's full wrath was not revealed until the sun was covered and the earth shook and God's very son hung on a cross on Calvary. As we come now to our time to close, perhaps it's time for us to take note of the idols that we've picked up along the way. Uncomfortable delays happen all around us, all of the time, and perhaps especially over the last couple of years. Waiting for things to be different, for justice, for normalcy, for peace, when it seems like there is only vitriol and division. So much in our society is based on dividing into smaller and smaller homogeneous groups. And we are faced with the decisions just like the Israelites. What will we do now? What makes us now a people? What keeps us together during the delay? Perhaps you feel the gaps that keep forming between you and other people. Perhaps you're just aware of a gap between you and God. As we enter into this time of response, the altar is open for you. A couple of our pastors will be available in the back, and if you are online, feel free to send us a direct message on Facebook and someone will respond to you. We would love to pray with you about this. But be willing to meet God here, today, in this moment, because Jesus fills the gap with grace. Amen. Let's pray. God, in these next moments, we confess that sometimes it is so hard to know where you are. Sometimes all around us just feels like delay. For the future that we are hoping for. Lord, in this time, may we feel the presence of your Spirit. May we experience again your grace. May we know that you are here, that you are with us, and that you love us. Amen.
Would you stand and join me for our closing hymn of response, Be Thou My Vision?
Now, let us go with this benediction. It comes from a prayer of St. Patrick. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise. Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. As you go today, may you go surrounded by the grace of Christ. Amen.